Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and it's a 2 days after tax day, the 17th of April, 2024. Thanks so much for being with us today. We're heading out west today from my state of Maine, going out to, I think, Colorado and California, two states that begin with the letter C. There's your interesting fact for today. Okay, and we're going to be talking to Randy Weiner and Dr. James Bailey. And Randy and Jim are the co-founders of the Daily SEL, Social Emotional Learning, Daily SEL Leader. All right, we're going to talk about the role of adult leadership, SEL skills as they relate to and impact teacher retention, especially with regard to saving at-risk students and, I might add, at-risk teachers. So it's going to be a nice conversation about teacher retention, SEL, what you can do about it, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. It's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Everything's free over there at ace-ed.org. All our podcasts are there. Our magazine is there. Our Equity Awards program is over there. Everything. So please check it all out. We invite educators and friends of education to go over, check it out, see what we're doing. We're quite proud of it. And as we're proud of all our guests and all our shows here at Education Talk Radio. So let me bring on Randy and Jim. It's spinning. It's spinning. There we go. Randy, are you there?
I'm here, Larry. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. Are you at California? Was I correct?
Oakland, California. That's correct.
All right. Good enough. And then I think Jim is in the – are you in Colorado, Jim?
I am, yeah, Colorado.
Okay, good. Do you like to be called Jim or James or Dr. Bailey or what do you like?
James is fine, yeah.
James is good. And call me Larry, and we're in business here. Guys, I tell everybody to go over to dailysel.com. You can see what the guys are doing over there, but I'm going to let them explain it. I'll ask James, but you can swing it to Randy, whatever you want to do. James, just tell us what you're doing over there at DailySEL.com.
Yeah, so our main purpose is really lately to really look at how do we eliminate educator turnover and attrition through a lot of
challenge.
Different things. We have different models and different uses of adult SEL, and we're kind of in a crisis, I think, that nobody realizes with the amount of educators who are leaving the profession, and so that's what we're really trying to get a handle on and help people through that.
I think that's wonderful. And by the way, I will agree with you when it's a crisis. I will disagree with you because the people we're talking to, all these educators out there, are too well aware of what's going on. Every teacher, every administrator, et cetera, et cetera. And believe me, if you're anything half as good as I think you are, they're going to need your help on all this sort of thing. Randy, how long has this all been around? When did you guys come together and when did you start this? Okay.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think James and I began working together in 2019. James and I were both part of the Yellow Hats network over on Transcend Education. We were in the same cohort. We kept seeing each other in the same meetings. And in the week that James reached out to me, I had it on my to-do list to reach out to him. And
serendipity, indeed.
indeed. And James very, very generously asked me if I enjoyed writing. I said yes. And he said, how do you feel about writing a book on SEL? And I said, well, I co-founded a public Montessori school, so I know a little bit, but I don't think I'm the first person you might turn to. And he said, that's fine. And we ended up producing the Daily SEL Leader, a guided journal specifically designed to support busy school leaders who otherwise don't get a lot of this type of support to develop their own SEL skills, in large part as a matter of equity.
Yeah. Continue on that theme for a second. Why do you see it as a matter of equity?
Well, one, I think James and I would say there is quite a lot to
by the
left
way,
to
I agree
desired.
With you. I just want you to
yeah.
say it.
All good, and we welcome the disagreement. No problem.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah. We would say one, in terms of the type of training and support that leaders themselves receive, rarely is their own SEL skill development a part of that training. And so that, mm-hmm. in our opinion, puts leaders immediately on the back foot. And this is perhaps more intense for certain types of leaders in certain communities. But in general, regardless of who you are as a school leader, if you're not intentionally supported to develop these skills as a matter of equity, you're going to be blinded to some of your growth areas and some of the experiences that your community is having that you may not be having yourself.
Wow.
On the flip side of that, I think we would say that when we're not all as leaders developing our own SEL skills, the notion mm-hmm. that we are somehow going to be able to transmit those skills to our children is flawed at best and oppressive at worst. And so, as we said, we designed the book specifically in part to help leaders concretely, sanely, sustainably inside of a day that will not permit more than 5 minutes or 400 words on this topic, to be available and to try to take the very reasonable and understandable excuse of a lack of time off the table.
Excellent. That is just great. So when you guys are out there talking to schools, do you want them to buy the book? Talk about the resources you're offering schools. Maybe that's the better way to do it. You have a book. What makes it daily? Okay, help me out on that. Okay, and James, help me. You do that. You do this one if you want.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have multiple resources. I mean, we have a complete teacher retention model, but one of the strategies that we talk about is this idea of adult SEL. And so, what the book allows leaders to do. It's written around the five CASEL competencies, and there are particular, each week is particular, a particular skill that relates to a competency. And what it does is it just takes people through, as Randy said, just quick 5 minute practices. So there's a quote that you respond to, identify a feeling, so you start to get more emotional awareness. We ask people to think about gratitude, you know, something you're grateful for to do. While breathing is not one of the things in the book, when we work with educators, that's the fourth practice. So we just use these four sort of really small but practical exercises for people, so they begin to get a hold of their own understanding and begin to create a practice around SEL.
You know, I think it's so important, and you guys are engaged in something so darn important, because so many teachers, I'll just say, are burnt out. You know that, and especially since the pandemic, it's rough out there, and we don't have a lot of people coming back in. And even when they, you know, when you get new teachers in there, I think, what is it, 3 or 4 years, and most of them leave. Okay, 5 years, maybe, whatever it is. There's a serious teacher retention out there. It never used to be this way, but it is, you know, and it's everywhere through society right now. People just don't stay at jobs anymore. But that hurts when we're talking about this. We don't have the pipeline in there. And it needs. And I'm going to say this, what you guys are doing needs to be incorporated into teacher and administrator training. Okay,
yeah.
It's so important, and it's up to people like you two. Okay, to pick up where, in my opinion, the education schools do not, okay, is to make sure this is incorporated within. You know, what? And I have to ask this. I'll go back to Randy. Randy, why are teachers, in your opinion, or through your research, leaving the profession?
Yeah, the number one reason is a lack of leader support. And in saying that, that's not meant to be a kick in the shins to those administrators for some of the reasons that we've just discussed. It's unreasonable to expect overworked, stressed out leaders to be able to provide the kind of support that is necessary to survive, never mind thrive inside of the work that educators do.
I have to say, you just got me thinking. My nephew is a elementary school principal. Okay, he works. He gets to work at 7 in the morning. All right.
Yep.
He gets home about 15 minutes from the school, maybe 20 minutes, about 5:30, and he's usually up till midnight working.
Yeah.
Okay. And also part of the time on the weekends, it's an untenable situation. Okay. He
entirely
loves his job. He's damn good at it, I might add. Okay.
Mm.
But it's burning him out. It's making him crazy. All right.
Yeah.
And he's an administrator, but of course he was a teacher for many, many years. Okay. And it's just this, there's a lack of understanding of how important this SEL is now. Okay. In what's going on. And I have to ask this, and James, I don't know, James, you're a doctor. What are you a doctor of? Let me ask that question.
Okay. Yeah. My degree is in educational leadership.
Ah,
so this is a topic very familiar to me.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I should have asked you that at the beginning. Okay, you're a true expert in the field. Okay, well, you know, you guys have a business structure set up, and I imagine it costs money to get involved with you guys, which is money well spent. It's an investment. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But no matter what it costs more if you do nothing. Okay, and I sort of want to ask you, and James, I'm going to ask you, impacts and costs of teacher retention, and again, flying back to SEL and the needs of educators. Okay, what are the costs involved?
There's all sorts of costs. So there's certainly an economic cost, and again, what other people have found across the board. Is that the cost of replacing a teacher it depends upon, again, whether you're in a rural or urban, and that ranges from about $9,000 to $17,000 per teacher. The training for a teacher that you're hiring with under 5 years of experience, those training costs usually go between $10,000 to $25,000. For teachers who stay in the profession, who are showing signs of excess stress and burnout, those costs have been estimated about $23,000 per person for, you know, medical and insurance costs. And those aren't inclusive of substitutes for those days that teachers miss. And overall, I'm going to throw out a really big number to you here, or two big numbers to you. Across America, the latest estimates, and one of the big issues is that we don't have a central repository for this. But latest estimates is about 760,000 teachers turn over every year. 760,000, right? And those costs are estimated to be about $8 billion annually to replace those teachers. Now, you know, I used to be a superintendent too, and I know that $8 billion is a little bit of money that I could have done something with, right?
It can be spent elsewhere.
It could be spent elsewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing, though, is that for those teachers, you know, as we talk about costs, I ran into some really interesting research that looked at the impact of stress and burnout on teacher performance. Right, and what a lot of that research shows is that there is a negative correlation between stress and job performance, which makes sense, right? The more stressed I am, the worse my job performance gets, which ultimately impacts students. And one of the interesting studies that was done in about 2020, done in the state of North Carolina, basically showed that turnover actually impacts student achievement, because what you're doing is you're getting teachers with less experience. And so for every new teacher that you're hired that, again, doesn't have the experience in your system, you're losing approximately two to three months of learning per student. So, again, this sort of trickle down. You know, and again, we've been in the school improvement business for decades, but this is the one thing that has really not been looked at, which is if you keep teachers in, you keep consistency, you're going to get better performance from your students.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny when you said that they did a study, and I respect that, in North Carolina. But all you need is common sense, okay? You don't need the study. I could have told them that before the study, and so could you.
Yeah.
And so could anybody,
yep.
And so could anybody in the audience, okay? There's teacher
yep.
turnover. Kids are going to suffer, okay?
Yeah.
It's that simple. And the cost of not helping a teacher and losing a teacher – okay, it's far greater than the numbers. Okay, you know, there's always
yeah.
a difference, as I like to say, the old sales trick between price and cost. Okay,
right.
Price is one thing, but cost is another. Okay, and we have to do something about this. So let me ask you this, and James, I want to stick with you. Where do you think all this is going? I mean, everybody kind of knows we need a change in all this. All right?
Right.
Where's it all going? Are we doing better? And this is why I think you guys are doing is so important. Okay. Are we doing better? Where do we go from here? Talk about this. You know, school districts having trouble, a fellow superintendent, an old colleague of yours, whatever the case may be. Okay. What do you, they call you, they get in touch with you. What are they going to get? Okay. Let's hear that. And James, you can do that, or you can pass it over to your good buddy, Randy.
Yeah, I'll start and then
go for it.
Fill in the blanks for us. But you know, our teacher retention model has, you know, basically we start with the foundation of what, you know, science says. What does the research say? And we have about 8 key ideas. And basically the model is to it's more of a health model than an educational model, I guess I would say.
Hmm, I like that.
And it's to think that, you know, the idea of stress and energy are the things that matter most for teachers right now, right? So how do we reduce stress? How do we make sure that they have the energy? Because, again, energy and especially emotional energy that is required to deal with little humans every single day and big humans every single day, that costs a lot, right? That is a metabolic
yes, sir.
Cost. That needs to be taken into account, right? So if that's kind of the, you know, the central idea, we then turn and we use a model called the job demands and resources, which again is a simple model, and that model basically says is that demands are physical, psychological, social, organizational things of a job that require physical effort, psychological effort, or skill, right? So again, if you're in a team meeting, right, that's taking some energy. If you're dealing with kids, that's taking energy. If you're dealing with a parent, that takes energy, right? And if those demands are too high, you get into what's known as the health impairment process, right? Which again, we know what stress does to the mind, we know what stress does to the body. In contrast to that, the other part of the model is this idea of job resources, again, which are the physical, psychological, social, organizational elements that help people, right? They're not resources as what we have think about with money or materials, but they're those things that can help us, right? It's good colleagues. It's supportive leadership. It's spouses that help with child care. It's you know, support when we put in a new curriculum, right? And if you have more job resources, you tend to have what's known as the motivational process, which leads to more work, engagement, enjoyment. I mean, we've all worked in schools where we've had great colleagues. It's a fun place to work. But we've also worked in places where that's not true, right? And if you contrast those two things, right, one is a high demand, one is a high resource. And so what we really try to help people think about is how do you actually decrease demands, increase resources, and then along this other part of our model, which is called the emotional path, it's how do leaders and the adults in the system set up the emotional path so that people feel efficacious, they feel trusting of one another, and they can actually work together well, right? So, again, I think it's one of those things we've been so focused on kids, which is necessary. But, again, I just don't think it's sufficient. The adults have to know how to work with each other because it is such a human intensive emotional grind working with adults and kids on a day-to-day basis. You need to take that into consideration.
You know, you're right, and I work with a lot of school architects, school planning. They do, you know, what they call designing learning environments. And one of the things a lot of them talk about, okay, is breaking down, literally breaking down walls between classrooms, okay, so that teachers work together as groups. And it's all that same thing. We tend to close those classroom doors and work by ourselves, if I may. A lot of people do that. And in this day and age, okay, in an age of, I hope, collaboration, okay, which we're trying to teach the kids, all right, we got to do it ourselves. It's just so important. Randy, your thoughts on all this? Randy Weiner. By the way, Randy, is it Weiner or Weiner? I better ask that question.
It is Weiner. Thank you.
Weiner. I'm sorry. I was saying Weiner before, but it's Weiner. Good.
You are hardly the first, Larry. It's okay.
And I won't be the last, but I can at least apologize.
You will. I can assure you.
Yeah.
That's true. You will not be the last. You know, I think what's worth pointing out is, you know, earlier, Larry, you observed, you know, none of us actually need those studies to confirm an awareness, the reality of the problem of teacher retention. And as James just laid out the model behind what we do, one of the things that we really like about it is it's very simple to understand. This doesn't require wading through hundreds and hundreds of pages as a school leader to understand the theory. And so it begs the question of, so why is it so darn complex to do something about it? And I think a big part of our response to that is, in many ways, we are asking educators to fundamentally go against their hardwired belief that if they only work harder, they will be able to do more for the children. And as James said, it's very difficult to be in front of children, I think for the average educator, and feel as though you aren't doing everything that you can. And as a leader, what we hear over and over again is this noble belief that the idea of investing in themselves rather than their staff, rather than their students, feels wrong. And again, understandable, noble, respectable, it may be among the worst decisions a school leader can make because of the downstream effects of that leader's own well-being. And here, well-being doesn't necessarily need to mean a woo-woo sense, right? This can just be what James was describing before. Are you or are you not putting yourself in position to be the best that you can, given all the constraints, for your staff and for your children on a day-to-day basis? And if the answer is no, which, by the way, we would also argue the system is designed to kind of ensure that the answer is more likely to be no than yes, then what are you going to do about it? And continuing to do the same things over and over again, as we know, is the definition of insanity. So in our approach, we really try to make things very, very concrete, because there isn't, while everyone can acknowledge and experience the problem, and James talks about this all the time with his own experience as a superintendent and a principal, there's very little that specifically is helping leaders to understand day-to-day moves can be made to start to make a dent in this problem, which no one is going to solve overnight. Which is also another big part of the issue, is we want fast solutions in education, and we would submit there's very few to come by. So it's asking a lot for folks who are in the trenches, who are overworked, who are already not necessarily capable of being their best selves, to try to onboard these simple ideas without really concrete, small chunk steps to help them go through that change.
It's so amazing. What are you hearing? Stay with me, Randy. What are you hearing from the teachers and schools that you're working with? What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we see actually when we lay this out is you see the shoulders fall and sometimes there's audible exhalations, right? Because again, it's one thing, we talk about the knowing doing gap. We're not going to find a lot of educators who would hear what we're talking about and say, wow, I never thought of the problem in that way, or holy cow, I didn't know that teacher retention was a potential risk, right? What we do hear, though, is we haven't been given the space to actually acknowledge that, that, yes, perhaps the system is not setting us up to do the things we need to do. Perhaps we do need to contemplate the idea that less is more. Perhaps we do need to contemplate that this is going to take longer than we might like it to. But if we ever want to come around to some kind of change, that may be the cost of doing business. Creating these spaces for folks to engage in these conversations, regardless of the conclusion they draw, I think to some degree, I think is the immediate release that we see when we bring these ideas to the table.
And, it's interesting, and I have to ask you, I want to go back in your past for a second, if I may. You told me that you found that, I have a note here somewhere, I read it on site, that you found that Oakland public Montessori school, correct?
Yeah, that's okay. Correct.
And my kids went through Montessori for a long time in their education, earlier education. Then when they went into public schools, they both had – they weren't troublesome or anything like that, but they didn't like it as much. And they wound up going to private schools, et cetera, okay, which worked out great. We live in New England. It's a traditional up here, et cetera. All right? But I'm curious, okay, you bring Montessori eyes to public schools, if I may. Whether you like it or not, that's your background. Okay, obviously you bring it. And how does that affect, as you look at all this, how does the Montessori side affect when you go into a public school? I'm just curious about that. Is that a good question? Does that put you on the side? Is that a good question?
Sure. If you're asking, are you asking separate from the teacher retention issue?
No, I'm asking how that applies. How you're using what you know about Montessori, okay, and how when you look at a public school, how you were able to bring the good parts of Montessori into that, which most teachers are not trained in. And that's what I'm curious about.
Most teachers definitely are not. I think related to teacher retention.
I don't know if that question made sense, but I was curious about it.
I will do my best. I think related to teacher retention, the Montessori teacher has been trained to be much less of the focal point, which means from the teacher retention perspective, in theory, this is definitely not true at a Montessori startup school or any startup school. But once established, that the teachers, the demands, as James described earlier, on the teachers, at least potentially can be lower than when you're in a classroom and as the teacher, you feel as though you need to be running the show entirely, right? There's a tremendous emphasis on student agency in the Montessori classroom. That is, of course, not to say that there are not educators out there in public schools who also share that perspective. But the Montessori model is built from the ground up to do its best to ensure that children are doing everything they can and that no adult should do anything that a child can do. That's a very, very hard concept for educators who have not been trained in Montessori to wrap their heads around. And I used to give tours to groups from all over the country who would visit the school, and that was always one of the questions, the first two questions, right? Or reflections. I can't imagine letting go of this much power, really, is what they would say. And it's understandable. And it's not something that happens overnight, but the idea of changing out those demands or reducing those demands while potentially increasing student agency and all of the incredible things that can flow from building that sense of agency up in children is probably the very first thing that I notice when I'm inside of a non-Montessori public school.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
I was just going to say you answered my question beautifully, because I always say, You know, and I'm a classically trained, so to speak, public school teacher. That's what I was in my profession. All right. Mm-hmm. And it's you bring and this is what I love about what you guys have teamed up to do. You bring different eyes and a different background. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you can look at it from a, that's what I was really looking for. You know, there's a difference between those kinds of not the ones better. I don't mean to imply that. But the point is when you bring different eyes into the situation. Okay, it really, really helps. And I think it's important these days to bring different eyes, different points of view in, because the situation is getting tough out there. Okay, and I just wanted to make that point. I don't know whether I made it well. From a poorly phrased question, you gave a very good answer, and I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
So thank you. So, gentlemen, as we wind down here, where do we go from here? What do you want teachers, what do you want administrators, teachers to do now? Go over to dailysel.com or you tell me. James.
Yeah, I think if they would go to dailysel.com, we have all of our contact information there. We have a playbook. It's a short little white paper. We just call it a playbook that discusses kind of the model a little more in depth. We have a summer cohort that is starting for leaders or for teachers. That if people are interested, they can go there and take a look at that. And basically, it's the cohort is will be about every 2 weeks, and we'll just discuss some of the the adult SEL things that we're trying to do. And then again, we'd be willing to talk to anyone who's having difficulty with this issue and
everybody's having difficulty with this issue, believe me. Okay, you're in the right place at the right time. Yeah, well, I know your teacher retention national cohort, okay, is June 5th, September 11th. I assume that's all virtual? What does that mean?
Yeah, virtual. Basically, it means that we would meet every 2 weeks by Zoom, and, we give people a little bit of theory, but we actually give them a lot of practice ideas and let them sort of go practice those ideas that they can take into the new school year.
That's excellent. And do you want teachers and administrators or just teachers or just administrators?
I think a combination of both. Adult SEL is adults are adults and they all need it. So both would be welcome.
That's just great. You guys are doing good work, and you've thought this through, and I think it's incredibly timely. Again, everybody, I got a link, but it's dailysel.com. Randy Weiner, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate all your insights. I really do. Thanks for the – and James, just terrific to know you. Okay, you guys, you got something here. I hope it all continues to work out stronger and stronger and stronger. Thanks for being with us, guys.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Well, thank you both very, very much. Have a good day, both of you, in those beautiful places that you live. Okay, spring has sprung. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. There you go, everybody. DailySEL.com. It's good stuff. All right? And they know what they're doing. That's obvious. All right? It's timely. I got to tell you. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for being with us.